Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, and I'm here with my good friend, Bill Murray.
I appreciate that.
So, thank you. Bill, if they're listening, they're going to think that you could be someone else. I don't know. There's a couple of famous Bill Murrays besides you.
Yeah, there's a few of them out there. I've had three or four living in the same town with me.
No way. Yeah. I did not know that.
When I lived in Jacksonville, there was four Bill Murrays.
Oh my gosh. All right. So you guys, you may not know this, but Bill and I have known each other for a very long time. So Bill, tell them how we first met, and then that'll help them to know kind of your history and who you are.
Sure. Yeah. So I've got a few years in. I counted. I'm 38 years in the optical business. I started with Wesley Jessen back in 1986. And then I met this really bright young optometrist at a Walmart in Tallahassee, Florida in 1996.
Wow.
And I learned a lot from that doctor and still learning a lot from her today.
We have had a good time learning and working together. And you're here because I want people to know the things that you have been teaching me over the years. And it's been such a joy. And I think you're just the perfect example of how it's important for us to listen and learn from each other. I mean, you said you've learned a little bit from me, but you've brought so much to my practice, so much to my team. And even David and I, when we were not in the practice we're in today, like you said, we were at one time at leaseholders in the Walmart in Tallahassee. And that's where we got started. So tell us more about that.
As far as how I got into the business.
Yeah. Or why, how did you get in the business? So you said 38 years. Is that what you said?
38 years.
Oh,
yes.
Oh man.
And, I still got a big smile on my face because I was talking to the gentleman that helps put on this show.
Yeah.
And he's been in the business now about 5 years, and we talked about, and he asked me that question.
Wow.
Why have you stayed in so long? And for me, it was all about the people.
Right. Right.
Not only the people I worked with, that either I managed or I worked up to, but the people I called on, especially optometrists.
Right.
It's such a nice group of people.
Yeah.
And
we are overall.
Overall, a very nice group of people that are willing to teach, willing to share, but also willing to learn, right? And that's where I had the most fun. I learned a lot early on in my career from the optometrists. And I love to listen to you when you speak to a patient. And if I think it's good, I share with other optometrists so they can learn how to communicate better with their patients.
And the smart optometrists out there, listen to that because you have a wealth of knowledge you've learned from all of us. So we talk about best practices, but you're the one that really knows what they are, and you have the numbers or have seen numbers to be able to show that we know what we're talking about. So Bill, what makes you so passionate about optical sales?
Yeah, I've got some examples about why I really am passionate about it. One, I love it. I just do. Again, the people's part of it.
Yeah.
But as an optometrist, you have the ability to change people's lives. We don't look at it that way all the time, but we should. And I can give some great examples. So I've sold contact lenses over that time. I've sold equipment over that time. I actually sold you some equipment.
Yes, you have.
Time. And one of them was this device that was basically a field screener that was great technology in its day. And a lot of optometrists bought that piece of equipment and just included it in their normal exam routine.
Okay.
Right? And I didn't know the power of it until one day I had a call from a doctor. And after about 30 days of having this equipment, and he said, listen, you need to know this. I found a tumor in an 11-year-old.
Wow.
Because of this field screener. I would have never given a field screening to an 11-year-old.
Yep.
And the visual acuity wasn't affected yet. And that one hit home for me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's a really big example. But other examples are multifocal fitting, which you are probably one of the best multifocal fitters in the United States. You opened my eyes, no pun intended, about multifocals and the impact they can have on people's lives.
Yeah.
Improving somebody's life through the proper contact lens or eyeglass or whatever is a big deal. And my last example is my wife. When she was 7 years old, she's taken to the optometrist, got fit with glasses. When they picked them up on the ride home, for the first time in her life, she looked up and she goes, "Oh, those trees have leaves on them."
Oh my goodness.
And her mom started to cry.
Oh yeah.
And the impact an optometrist can have on somebody's life, sometimes we take it for granted, but it's real.
And we have the benefit of working with people like you in this business to help us learn the things that we're not able to because we're so busy seeing patients every day. So, you know, I think a lesson for me over the years has been, anytime I've said to you, could we do this? Would this work? Or how do I do this better? You've always been able to find the answer and bring it to me. We implement together and make it happen.
It's funny. You can always tell the optometrist is really involved and wants to get better because they go, what have you seen? Because we're in so many offices.
Yes.
Hundreds and hundreds of offices. We hear good practices. And unfortunately, when you're in your practice, whether it's corporate or private, it's just you.
Right.
And as long as you're talking, you can't learn something new. I tell my sales reps this all the time. As long as you're talking, you can't learn something new.
That's good.
So, it's a luxury for me to hear how you talk to patients so I can share that to other doctors.
That's good. So for anyone thinking about getting into optical sales or thinking about becoming an optometrist, what piece of advice would you give them to be successful?
I try to boil things as simply as possible. And I don't care if you're thinking about being a salesperson in this business or if you're thinking about being an optometrist, it gets down to one thing. Are you identifying the needs of the patient, whether they know their needs or not? And if you can identify those needs, hopefully you have something that can satisfy those needs, whether it's they have a visual problem, they have a medical problem. But understanding the needs not only of your patients, and on the sales side, do I understand what your needs are so you can meet the needs of your patients? And the better we both do that, the better the patient's going to be, the better your practice is going to be, and the better my life's going to be.
What do you see as the biggest need? Well, what do you hear? I guess two ways to ask that. What are you hearing optometrists say is their biggest need right now? Or what do you see? Is it the same?
Yeah. So biggest need for optometrists right now, believe it or not, after COVID has been staff management.
Yeah.
Retention of staff, because continuity of staff helps the flow in the office. Better flow in the office means more time the doctor gets to spend with the patient, which helps identify the needs.
Right.
When that staff goes away and I'm rushed and I don't have that amount of time, it becomes a real challenge at that point.
Yep.
As far as some of the things that are happening now, we have new systems in place that you can actually send a patient a questionnaire well ahead of time before they come to see you in the chair in your office in your exam lane. And you can understand the patient a lot better than trying to play 20 questions and a 20-minute exam in a lane.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. And so do we understand that? Can we take advantage of it?
Right.
And that way we'll know where to go, just because that's the biggest problem I see. Staffing and understanding the true needs of the patient, because sometimes the patients don't know how to express what they would like to have or even know it's available to them.
Right. So you've been in the contact lens business a long time. Is the problem, what is the biggest challenge in the business of contact lenses? So if you, as an optometrist, if I came to you and said, Bill, I want to grow my business and I want to do it in the world of contact lenses, what would you tell them to do? And does it happen to be what the one of the biggest challenges is right now in that world?
Obviously I'm in Florida, so we have a lot of presbyopes in the state of Florida.
That's right.
And when somebody comes to me and either starts a practice for the first time or buys an exam, whatever it is, and they want to build, the first thing I say is become an expert at fitting multifocal contact lenses.
Yep.
And the reason I say that is if you are successful at it, you will get more referrals from those patients than any other type of contact lens fit you can do.
Right.
And maybe anything else you can do, because presbyopes tell their friends and they will refer and come to see you. So it's a great way to build a practice and build your confidence with a specialty fit.
People ask me all the time if it's easy. And the answer I always give them is it's not easy or everybody would do it. Having said that, it's straightforward. And it's simple to learn with experience and listening to the people that know. So I think it's two different answers. I wouldn't want my patients to hear this and they listen to the podcast and go, oh, well, if it's easy, then I can just go buy them off the shelf. So right. I'm careful with that word. It's easy for the person who's skilled, but it's not easy for the person who hasn't taken the time to learn. Is that a better way you think to say it?
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
I would say that's 100% a better way to say it. And unfortunately, a lot of optometrists coming out of school, optometry school, they're taught certain ways to handle presbyopia and other situations that may not be what works best in the area they're going to be.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
And I hate to say it, I've heard it for years.
Yep.
There's fitting guides out there for a reason, especially on multifocals. We always say, start with the fitting guide.
Right.
And then find a peer that's been successful and ask their opinion.
Right. I think, and again, I can't say this because I've not been in school in a very long time, but one of the things I've seen from students that have graduated and come into my practice is that they don't understand that every lens is different. And there is a very important system in place to be able to put a patient into that lens. Like you're saying, there's a fit guide.
Right.
You have to learn the system. It's no different. Do you have an analogy? I mean, what is something we could compare it to? If you think of it, you can say it, but it's not difficult, but you've got to take the time to do it. And the good news is it'll change your practice.
Yeah, and I think multifocals, as far as a soft contact lens go, with spheres, it's the same fitting process for everybody.
Right.
With torics, it's the same fitting process for everybody.
Right.
With multifocals, it's not. As a matter of fact, it is different for every manufacturer.
Yeah.
And I see way too often, a doctor will have one fitting guide in their head for all four manufacturers'
That's
products.
Right. Big mistake.
And you can be partially successful, but you're not giving the patient the best opportunity at a great outcome.
Right.
When you do it that way.
So when a doctor says to you, I'm not going to do that, Bill, because no multifocal works, what do you say?
I'll ask them who their peers are and see if they have an influencer in their life
That's good.
I know fits multifocals. Because they're not going to believe a sales rep trying to sell them something, but they will believe a peer that's already doing it.
That's good. I love that. All right. So I kind of asked you this question, but let me ask you again and see if you have something else you want to kind of comment on. But based on your interaction with younger optometrists, what would you suggest they do to start their career off on the right path?
Yeah, this has really hit home this year. So we have Nova School of Optometry in my area.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of fresh faces coming out of school, going to work for the first time.
Right.
And we see them both in private practice as well as corporate optometry. And the advice I've given to some, because I've seen them 2, 3, 4 weeks in to seeing patients full time, and you can just tell they're at the end of their string. They're really having a hard time.
Yeah.
And my first suggestion is, one, if you're in a practice with a partner, or somebody hired you and that's an optometrist, have you expressed how you're feeling and what your challenges are?
That's good.
But find a peer. Yep. Find a mentor that you can go to ask questions. And then also take the time, the one that comes to mind so recently is it a corporate optometrist that was taking charts home to do them at night, really did not like the job. And I was like, first off, the person that hired you for this job, explain that. Second off, ask if you can observe her for a day, how they communicate to patients and can see patients in a certain amount of time.
That's good.
And so I would suggest that for everybody coming out of school.
That's really good.
Go observe somebody that's been doing it, that has developed the skills to do it in a timely manner, but still do an excellent job. Right. And then also join a state association, join an optical network. Take advantage of some of these one-on-one consultations that certain companies offer so you can hone your skills.
That's good, too.
I think that's really the most valuable thing I could tell somebody.
I love that. And I would tell a doctor coming out, you know, if you are the one that's going to be the employee, then just tell them, I don't even need to get paid. I just want to watch you today. Now, in my practice, when I bring my doctors in, I pay them to sit and just watch me, not because I'm the person they need to be like, but because they need to see what patients have become accustomed to in my practice.
Right.
So maybe they do want to be like me, maybe they don't, but they at least need to know what has been the case and what has been the process and the protocol, because the protocols I still want them to follow. They can be themselves, but they need to be able to do it the way we've been doing it. The communication is important. As Bill said, as you said already, the reason we are so successful in our practice with multifocal lenses is because, number one, we've learned how to do it right. I've learned how to understand the fit guide and I follow it. But number two, I know how to talk about it with patients.
That's it.
And that's partly because I've listened to you. And then I go back and learn from the School of Hard Knocks and come back and we talk again. And I say, this worked, this didn't. And we go back through it.
Yeah. Yeah. With multifocal, setting proper expectations.
Yep.
Right.
All right. Here's a tough one. You ready? In your opinion, where do you see the optometric business heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting question, because it's in the last 5 years, it's changed drastically.
Yes.
Now, in the last 15 years before that, it didn't change a whole lot.
Right.
Or something. In the last 5 years, you have basically remote optometry, where the remote doctors coming into play in more and more places. But the demand for optometric services over the next 5 to 10 years, it's a great place to be, because the demand's only going to skyrocket. And I think of things like, how many children now do you see with dry eye?
Right, a lot.
Right?
Devices, lovely things.
Yeah, devices. We're on our devices all the time. So we see dry eye in much younger patients than before. So we're having to see them earlier than we normally would have saw them.
Yeah.
And more often, dry eye in older people, me included, has gotten much worse.
Right.
For the same reason, right? So you're handling dry eye, you have myopia control,
yes,
which has become so big, and 10 years ago that wasn't really even a thing, and I think that will grow in the future. And there's other areas of scleral lens fitting.
Right.
I think more and more, as in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see more optometrists choose a specialty, specialize in something.
Right.
We're seeing that with MDs now. Specializing in lens replacements or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see more and more optometric specialty practices moving into the future. But the demand even now is growing for optometric services at an unbelievable rate. It just is. So
you're saying it's going to be a good time to be an optometrist.
If you're an optometrist and don't want to work, you're not going to have a hard time finding a job.
I love it. Bill, you are an inspiration to me. I wanted you here because we have spent so many years together working in this industry. I've learned so much from you, and I wanted everybody else to have a chance to learn as well. So I know we'll continue to be together in different ways, doing different things. But mostly, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for who you are, what you've done, and how you've impacted my life.
Well, I appreciate you. And listen, I got to say this too, and I 100% mean this. I've seen how you communicate with your patients, with your staff, and also when you communicate with other optometrists. And you tailor that communication to each one of those people differently so they can understand it and then put it into practice themselves. Honestly, you're the best I've ever seen at it. And that's why I've quoted you to many other optometrists over my lifespan in the business. So thank you for letting me to do that.
Oh, thanks, Bill.